Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we're going to forecast trends with the amazing Wendy Lewis. And Wendy Lewis founded Wendy Lewis & Company, LTD. It's a global aesthetics consultancy firm. And her clients include private doctors, physicians, med spas, surgery centers all across the U.S., Canada, and Europe. So she has her finger on the pulse of this industry. She's really an expert in our field with an excellent reputation among all industry leaders and lots of specialties. She's founded beautyinthebag.com and is editor-in-chief of the International Beauty Forum of beautyinthebag.com. And she's the author of 13 books. That's a lot, Wendy, including America's Cosmetic Doctors and Dentists, Plastic Makes Perfect. And she's doing a new textbook, Rebuilding an Aesthetic Surgery Practice, a Roadmap for Success. That's so appropriate for today. How to rebuild for 2021. Hey, and welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So you're located in New York City?
I am.
Yay. How's the Big Apple doing?
Oh, we've had better years. 2020 has been, I think everyone's just counting the days. It's been a roller coaster. But I think we're on the mend. The governor has taken care, I think, to keep the virus to a minimum now, and people are paying attention, finally. But it's been a rough year everywhere. I'm sure it's the same in LA.
Well, it's interesting you say that. As we speak, over the weekend, we had a curfew at 10 p.m., restaurants closing. And then yesterday, they announced restaurants closed for in-person dining and potentially a stay-at-home order if our infection rate goes to 4,500 cases, which we're at 4,000. So it seems like we might be into another.
Oh, that's horrifying. Yeah. We haven't had a lockdown for a while. But I mean, you know, that can happen for sure. I mean, the rates are just ridiculous. But again, as a physician, I'm sure you see a lot of people not paying attention and not wearing their masks and not social distancing. So I guess it's baked in the cake now.
It is.
The vaccines look pretty good.
It's probably, I think it's going to be 6 months till we see a vaccine. So it's interesting, all these preliminary studies. And I guess healthcare workers will be the first batch of people to get
as they
this.
Should.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
I thought, since you do have such a great, sense for the practice and what people are doing in surgery, dermatology, med spas, and the aesthetics industry as a whole, like, how do you think that we should come out of this? Well, actually, before we go into come out of this, let's go into what's going to happen for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and consumer purchasing in aesthetics. Are people still interested, or have they already spent all their dollars on skincare sales on at home while on lockdown?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, everyone is having sales left, right, and center, so the consumer is pretty much bombarded. But I think a lot of people are saving their money for aesthetic sales. I mean, that's something that's kind of year end, and it, you know, falls into new year, new you. I also think that patients want to feel good about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been stuck in the house for many of us. I mean, I've been here for 9 months, no travel, really not being able to do the things that we're used to doing, gyms closing left and right, all of those things. I think women especially want to get back to some form of a routine. They may be a little more frugal right now, but I mean, most surgical practices that I know who were busy before COVID are busy now.
Yeah,
I think the challenge is that like the non-surgical treatments, people are still having done for sure. Don't you agree? I mean, I'm sure your patients are not. I'm not giving up my Botox, and most of it's aren't. And you know, injectables, and I think lasers are doing really well.
Skin, we've been so busy. Yeah,
I hear this from all well-heeled surgeons who have a big practice. I think it's probably much more difficult for someone who's just starting out. Because it's hard to capture those patients because they have a lot of choices. And to your point about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I mean, there's no question that practices will be offering some forms of discounts and deals that I do think patients will want to take advantage of, mostly for not for surgery, but for anything that's done in a series.
Yeah.
Injections, any kind of laser treatments. I mean, I think one of the things that's really on fire right now and has been for the whole year are the non-surgical body contouring and body sculpting treatments.
Yeah, so definitely.
Natural, right?
Yeah, in our practice, Sculptra is very popular, actually. These slow growth, you know, long-term, really beneficial results where you're really investing in yourself. Those things have been very, you know, key to people wanting to change their image, but do so in a really non-invasive and natural way.
Really great. I think their bodies, I mean, you know, a lot of us have gone to hell to some extent. We haven't kept up with everything for this time. And the body contouring procedures are really popular. And there are so many good ones now on the market.
Excellent. Well, do you think that we're going to have trouble going into 2021?
I don't think we're going to have trouble going into 2021. I think it all depends on, you know, the LA news obviously isn't good. I didn't realize we were that far along. I think it's going to be very hard for businesses if they have to shut down, and I'm hoping that isn't the case. I mean, there are lockdowns throughout Europe, of course, and they're getting hit really hard. I think that will be the differentiator. It's going to be really difficult, I think, for practices who are teetering on the edge and didn't really recover from the first lockdown to have to go through that again. It's no different than any other small business, but most will survive and there will be some casualties, but that won't change consumers' undying interest in these treatments. Don't you agree? I mean, that hasn't changed. They may put it off for a while. They may not do as much, but they're not giving it up entirely, at least not the people I talk to. And a lot of things are still affordable and readily available. My fear, and I bet you feel this way too, is that patients who are on a budget are going to make poor choices.
I really hope that doesn't happen. I really do. Yeah.
I'm afraid that some of them, well, I really want this done. And, you know, there's a spa on the corner and they're offering some kind of a deal. And I think that that's a mistake for consumers because nothing has changed in that regard. You want to go to top people who are experienced and have the right credentials, board certified, all of the above, and not to go for some discount or, you know, have syringe will travel kind of deal just because it's less expensive, because that's when you get into trouble. And it's never less expensive because if you have a complication, it's more expensive. So then they're going to go to someone like you and they're going to say, Dr. K, how can you fix this? So I would urge consumers to really choose wisely.
Well, give us a little bit of advice in terms of marketing, because one of the things that I like to do is be able to offer a discount to patients, but I also don't want to diminish my brand, and I want to not attract the kind of patient that's a bargain shopper. Unfortunately, I think that those patients tend to be difficult to please sometimes, and they're just like price motivated versus quality and artistry and everything else that takes time. So what is advice to you in terms of like not discounting your services, but do, you know, be able to offer something to give thanks for having great clients and a little bit of a margin of, you know, better pricing for them?
I agree with your points 100%. I've always believed that discounting and slashing prices looks desperate and is a mistake because you can always go down, but you are not going to be able to go up. And that's kind of the Groupon thing. Groupon killed the spa industry for quite a long time. And the only people who really make money on Groupon is Groupon. So spas and doctors, these are not sticky patients. They don't stay with you. They look for the next deal down the road. It is not really necessarily a good group of patients to go after. However, I do think given the climate that we're in, it is fair to consider doing bundles. I love subscription models. I think they work really well in practices now, especially for repetitive treatments, not for surgery. That's a separate category, obviously. I also think that giving more rather than charging less, keep the price the same, but give them more. I always try to encourage practices, have the patient get introduced to something else that you do. If they're coming in for one filler all the time, why not give them a chance to experience, I don't know, a vascular laser to get rid of their reds and browns or something like that in the practice, and, you know, throw that in. You don't have to discount, but you give them something extra and hopefully they'll love that treatment. They'd be willing to sign on for a series down the road. I think that's a better strategy. And to your point about your brand, couldn't agree more. I mean, if you're going down, it is very hard to go back up. It's very hard to maintain premium positioning in any industry if you're going to slash prices and change the way you do business. And you certainly don't want to change the level of patient care you're giving and results, because that's all about your brand.
Yes. So you talk about rebuilding your aesthetic surgery practice. So I think, are there like three key things that you would recommend to any practice for someone starting out? And then maybe three key things for someone who's super well established in terms of, you know, not losing momentum?
Sure. I think for someone starting out, I think private practice is on life support now. Unless you are, have a lot of funds behind you, I would urge you to look for a group situation somewhere or join a relatively busy practice already with either, you know, a complementary surgeon or a dermatologist, et cetera, because just the costs of setting up a practice, you know, when a good quality laser costs $200K, are really prohibitive to most residents who are just coming into practice. And marketing isn't inexpensive to really get your name out there. So I would urge people coming out, start by joining a practice. You don't have to stay there forever, but at least you'll get busy. You'll be able to build your name up. For someone who's established, look, digital is everything. You know, that's no surprise to someone like you who's mastered it. Digital is everything. Not everybody is going to get Instagram the way you have, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's so impressive. But you've got to be active on Instagram and you've got to follow the trends. I mean, short form video with music is huge now. If you don't want to do TikTok, there's Reels, not the same, but close enough. I think that we have to take advantage of what's available. And I mean, TikTok seems to have the attention to TikTok and banning it in the US seems to have waived. So if you're really interested in TikTok, go for it. It is not my personal favorite. I think it only works for fairly younger patients, but it's a very, very important platform now. You know, I still love Facebook because it attracts older patients. And for most aesthetic practices, that's kind of your bread and butter. Mm-hmm. If you want to go after millennials, you have to be on Instagram. And I think that's where they find you. I'm sure you have exactly that experience. They are looking for doctors on Instagram. They're looking for your results and they're going to DM you and ask questions. And they feel like they know you. And I think that's what social media has really done for practices. You have a connection with that patient that you didn't actually be able, you really didn't be able to have until they came into your practice. Now they feel like they know you before they ever make an appointment. Virtual consultations to me are mandatory 100%. I've been talking about virtual consultations for years and got so much pushbacks, especially from plastic surgeon colleagues. And now it's, you know, I think patients expect it. And I think if you don't offer that, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage because that is a convenience that patients of all ages now want. And I do think, I'm sure you offer virtual consultations in one form or another. And I think that's just standard now. And I would not back off. That's not going to change in 2021. The good news is we have a lot of new products coming out. So that's kind of exciting. I mean, hopefully we'll get a longer toxin. Revance is looking at approval very quickly. We just got Taexon and there are other things in the works that may come through in 2021. So aesthetics is moving forward without a doubt.
Yeah, I'm excited about Revance. Their new toxin, Daxi. Hopefully we'll get FDA approval in late November. We'll see. And yeah, Tiosol is really nice. They're in filler that they're importing from Europe. And what else is new? There's a new cellulite product, Quo, coming.
Yes.
Not yet, but I'm prepared to start. So
really interesting device. Absolutely. People are raving about it so far. And I mean, it's the first of its kind. It opens up a whole new category.
It does. It really does. Do you see any red flags or hurdles in the year ahead? And would you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Of course I do. I mean, how can we not? I mean, I think my fear is that elective surgery in hospital, I think in most markets is going to be it's going to be banned for some time, depending on how well we do. And I mean, the way the U.S. is going, it's frankly, I think, an embarrassment on the global stage. I mean, every other country has done this better than we have, which is really unfortunate. So I really hope that consumers pay attention to the doctors and follow the CDC guidelines and you know, try not to get infected or infect other people. So that will help us a lot economically. You know, the economy is a worry for everyone. And of course, that's going to affect certainly cosmetic surgery, which is really more of a luxury. And it's all self-pay. So I think that people will probably I hope not, but I think that they will space things out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember 2008. If you're used to having, you know, a toxin, you're not necessarily going to give it up. I think fewer people give it up. They may space it out more. Instead of having it four times a year, they may have it three times a year, or things like that. Even I think the same is true with fillers. Maybe they won't go in for as many hydrafacials or things like that. They may space it out, but they won't necessarily give it up. It's not something mm-hmm. you can do yourself, like hair color, because I remember that hair color went off the charts, right? Because people were trying to do it themselves. I would never attempt that ever, but it mm-hmm. works well for some women. I think that's a challenge. I think the big surgeries, I think women are still going to want facelifts. And there are a lot of options today. There are a lot of less invasive options that maybe, I'm sure you see patients who probably need a full facelift, a neck lift, but maybe they can get away with something smaller that they feel more comfortable with, or maybe the recovery is shorter. I mean, the truth is, like in cities like New York, so women have had a lot of time to recover from procedures, so they've still had their procedures done. And we have a lot of new things coming out. Again, the body sculpting space is on fire. Everybody wants these treatments, and there are certainly enough of them to choose from. I think what will ultimately happen is the prices may come down a little bit, at least for the short term, because doctors, you know, want to make use of that device, and that makes sense. It's a big investment, but they work really well, don't you think? I mean, much better than, you know, a few years ago, I think.
Yeah, I do. I feel that 2021 is going to be a very stable year, but I am a little bit concerned, of course, about patients being healthy and coming in. And in terms of fillers and Botox, I don't think that is changing, but I worry that patients rely too much on Botox and fillers and are trying to have fillers accomplish the job of what a facelift needs to do. So I think that we need to guide people away from overfilling their faces. Oh, so that's something that I, nope. Yeah. We've seen that enough. And
I think the energy-based devices are helping to some degree, at least to forestall having that surgery. But ultimately, I mean, I'm with you on this. I come out of plastic surgery circles, and nothing is going to give you the same result as a surgical facelift.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is possible to delay it now longer than women used to. So I think that's fair. There are some decent alternatives that at least you can maintain yourself. I think the other group that's really interested in aesthetics is millennials. I mean, they're coming at it really strong, although they're a very frugal generation, but they do want aesthetic services. And we see that in every market, not only in the US. I'm sure you have a big young practice too.
Yeah, definitely. That comes through Instagram, but it's a lot of preventative maintenance and aspirational beauty. It's good. Tell us a little bit about your new book that you're working on.
I'm finishing my second edition of my first book, textbook, which is on social media, because as you know, of all people, things have changed so much since the first edition was 2018. So that should be out in early 2021. And the other book I'd started quite a while ago, and because of COVID, we've changed the entire tone of it to rebuilding instead of just growing, because I think that's more important for surgeons right now. And it really starts from the bottom up, like how to start out, you know, your goals, where do you want to be in 5 years, where do you want to be in 10 years, what the options are, and who the patient is today, because I think that has changed dramatically. Who is the patient that you're trying to attract, and what are their needs, and what are their goals, and what is their thought process? I think the sales cycle is a little bit different as well. For some, it's very quick, and for others, it's much longer. And I think COVID's kind of changed all of this, just the whole idea of virtual consults. I mean, I know how difficult it is for practices, especially in cities like New York and Chicago and Boston. I'm sure you have a larger office in the LA area, San Francisco as well. These offices are very small. So the capacity for many surgeons is quite off. It's quite down. How many patients can you see at a time? How many patients can you treat at a time? Because of all the sanitation, that's important. So things have changed a bit. But I do think, and most doctors that I know have done a phenomenal job and adapted very quickly. They've got their act together, right? The staff is on board. I mean, I feel very safe going to my plastic surgeon for injections. I mean, he's done everything right. And most of the doctors I talk to have really taken this very seriously and have made it safe for their patients and their staff. And that's commendable. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, I think those of us who have adapted and, you know, evolved and met this challenge, we're going to continue to do that as we go forward.
Oh, I agree completely.
That's key for this market. You need to adapt to having online sales, virtual consults, digital marketing. It is evolve or, you know, become extinct. So no, I think
absolutely. And more important now than ever, because I think things are moving at a much more rapid pace. I mean, for some practices, being able to have online sales of skincare and products has kept them alive.
Yeah, it really has.
Especially when it's been a lockdown. And, you know, it's unfortunate some places in Europe aren't able to do that. But I think we've really reaped the rewards, and a lot of the skincare companies that sell to physicians exclusively have done a great job of making it very accessible. Even if you're able to send a patient to a website where you get credit for the sale, I think that's a very smart strategy, and that's what patients want. And, you know, I also think that's where the virtual consult comes in. I mean, think about your connection to that patient. A virtual consult for 10 minutes by a nurse or an esthetician keeps you top of mind with that patient. Mm-hmm. You know, you sell them a new skincare regimen, you want to find out how are you doing on it. Mm-hmm. Have a 10-minute call. The skincare check is a good thing to do via Zoom after you've started someone on a new skincare regimen, just to make sure that they're using it properly and they're getting the results and they don't have any questions.
Exactly. Well, Wendy, this has been very interesting. And of course, you are someone who is really knowledgeable in our field. So I look forward to doing another virtual meeting with you. That's another trend we've seen this year is virtual.
Oh, yeah.
All the aesthetic societies holding all their meetings virtually, which I think actually has been quite good.
I agree.
I don't think that trend is going anywhere either. I feel even when meetings resume, there's going to be the option to come to the meeting or go virtual, which is going to be great.
Best, it'll be hybrid. I miss the live meetings because I love to hear doctors speak and I like to meet people and all of that. But I think we're probably not going to be seeing that for a while, at least until vaccines are more readily available.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, until that time, it's nice chatting with you virtually till I'm out in New York City again. Where can all of our listeners find you if they're interested to get in touch?
Best way is Wendy Lewis Co. on most social channels.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure. And I'm very excited for 2021, Black Friday.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, exactly. That's it for now, guys. You can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. Don't forget to check it out. That's it for now, and stay beautiful.